Our scripture reading is taken from three small portions, one from Genesis 2, verses 1 and 3, and then Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, which is the Ten Commandments, referring to the fourth commandment, and then one in Jeremiah. So first of all, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, where God instituted the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, after the creation. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. And then to Exodus chapter 20 and verses 8 to 11. And that's enshrined in the Ten Commandments. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And finally from Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 24 to 27. God warning the Israelites about neglecting the Sabbath. And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. But if you do not heed me to hallow the Sabbath, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. So for the reading of the scriptures. Dear people of God, this command, to say the least, certainly is in the church a bone of contention, in the sense of, do we honor the Sabbath? Do we keep the Sabbath? Do we see that as an important command like any of the others in the Ten Commandments? Or do we ignore that? Do we think it's not that important, that we can not keep the Sabbath day in the bare bones of what is given in the scriptures, which is that we rest from our labors. That we do all our work on 6 days and we rest on the Sabbath. Yes, we understand that there are things that are necessary, like the army, like the police, like the ambulance, the hospitals, that we see, and the church has recognized that work of necessity. And that is reflected, of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ in the synagogue, healing people on the Sabbath, whereas the leaders of the synagogue didn't want that to happen. They were angry that that happened. I mean, even if it's a good thing that was happening, they were angry because he did it on the Sabbath. And their attitude was, let somebody come in the other days of the week. And Jesus reprimanded them for that. That they didn't care about these people that had been suffering for so long. And in their nonchalant way, they said, oh, just let them wait until in the week, and then they can come to be healed. But don't do it on the Sabbath. And the Lord Jesus, of course, ignored that. That it's, we're commanded to do good all the days of the week, but on the Sabbath to do good. And they turned their hearts away from doing that, all in the name of that they were keeping the Sabbath day. And so there were contentions then, and there's contentions in the churches, that there are many differences in terms of how people keep the Sabbath, all the way from not keeping it at all, just treating it like any other day of the week, to sitting in their homes and not seeing, doing anything, right? Just, it's almost like idleness, right? Either we're just reading the scriptures all day, but we don't allow ourselves to do anything. And so in between those extremes, people struggle. What is it that we're to do on the Sabbath positively? And what is it that we are not to do on the Sabbath? And how did this command come about? And for what purpose was the Sabbath given in the first place? And so this is a topic then that is important for each and every one of us. It's important for parents because obviously children, as they raise children, the Sabbath comes, and what do we permit our children to do? What do we tell them that they can't do? Or as leaders of the church, what are we to say to the congregation? Are we to say nothing about the Sabbath, like hands off, you do whatever you think is right? But we don't follow that way forward in terms of the rest of the scriptures. We don't say, oh yeah, about this doctrine, yeah, just believe what you like. Oh, just whatever you are happy with, do that. No, we try to explain to them what the Word of God teaches, and we call them to obedience to the Word of God. And so this command really is no different, that we have to address it, and our confessions address it. The scriptures obviously address it from the passages that I have read. So before we even begin to delve into the question of details of what can and we can't do, we have to understand, first of all, the principle. First of all, why did God give the Sabbath? And once we got that established, then we're on the right footing to move on to the next step, in terms of the observance of the Sabbath. So first of all then, in terms of addressing the Sabbath command, first of all, let's recognize that. It is a command of God. It's not a suggestion. It's not like this is good for people that are really holy and old and have nothing more to do, so they have to rest, but everyone else, well, you've got duties. Right? It doesn't say that. It's a command of God. And that's why we read Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This was before Israel was constituted, thousands of years before that. This is right in the creation account that God created in chapter 1, created the heavens and the earth. And we're told in detail the things that God did. And in chapter 2 says, well, God finished his work of creation. I mean, not that God stopped working. I mean, obviously, if that's the case, everything would disappear. He upholds everything as with his hands. But in terms of creating activity that is explained to us in chapter 1 of Genesis, that he stopped. That he ended. And he enshrined that work in a command that we were, as created in his image, that we were to follow this pattern. 6 days we're to do our work, but we're to rest on the Sabbath. Why? Because God rested on the Sabbath. And it will always remind us of the fact that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Everything that we have, everything that we enjoy in this world, we enjoy because he created it. And we're to recognize that. So when we keep the Sabbath, when we acknowledge the Sabbath, we are being reminded of the fact that everything that we have, everything that we enjoy, the wonderful universe that we see all around us, and the order of it, and the beauty of it, and the blessing that bestows upon us on all levels, that comes to us from God's almighty hand. That we're not to let other people distract us from that. We're not to let other people say, oh, no, that's not, no, it came by evolution, it came by itself, it came by the Big Bang, or whatever other theories they have. God wants our eyes to be fixed upon Him when we look at the creation, the thing that we enjoy and we love. We have to see that it comes from His fatherly hands. He created, and He finished that creation. It's not like He half did it and now it's to man to do it. No, God created everything and finished His work. And so God commanded that. As I said, it's past, it's before, long before the Mosaic economy. And why do I say that? Because some people think that the Sabbath was peculiar to the Israelites. And now that they're no longer the people of God and we're not any longer in the Old Testament and in that geographic collection of God's people, that somehow we don't keep the Sabbath anymore. No, so somehow it's not binding. Well, it was never given in that context in the first place. It was given at the creation. Many, many years before Israel was ever formulated. And so the people of God kept the Sabbath all of those years. That's why in Israel, when the Ten Commandments came, it wasn't a new thing that God introduced. He says, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. Because it was already in operative for hundreds and thousands of years. And now God reminded them of that. That they were to keep the Sabbath day. So yes, it's a command of God. And of course, in Exodus, it is raised to an important height by the fact that it's included in the Ten Commandments. I mean, we don't look at any of the other Ten Commandments and say, oh, they were peculiar to the Israelite nation, and so we don't have to keep them. We don't say that about lying. We don't say that about honoring our parents or stealing or killing or adultery or covetousness. We don't say anything about those commandments in that manner. So how strange it would be for us to pick one that people find inconvenient because the world does all of its work on the Sabbath day as well. And so that puts a lot of pressure on people to work or companies to compete even on the Sabbath because they don't want to fall behind. So it puts pressure on them. But I'm saying the Bible is not unclear about the Sabbath. It puts it there. And not only does it put it there, but it puts it there in the first table of the law, which is the importance of our relationship with God. The second part of the Ten Commandments, of course, is the relationship that we have with our fellow man, both of which direct us to show love and care. So here, the fourth commandment, in the first table of the law, God reminds His people, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And in fact, He takes them back. He says, remember, 6 days you shall labor. Why? Because I worked 6 days, and on the seventh I rested, and I hallowed that day. I put that day as special. And not once a year, like so many other things that we remember, but every week. That cycle of work that we engage in, God wants us to be reminded of that. That He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He has provided everything that we need for life and godliness. And we're never to forget that. We're never to take that into our own hands. I mean, if God created the world and provided all that we need, then can we trust him to help us in this week? That he's going to provide what we need in this week as we follow him and honor him and obey him? That he will take care of us like the good shepherd? Rather than, it's all upon me, it's all upon me, whether it's in terms of the physical life that we live or whether it's spiritually, that it's all on me. And here's this burden I have to carry in the week. I have to make myself lovable to God. I have to do all of these works so I'll be accepted by him and blessed by him. And I have to work hard to provide for myself because no one else will, no one else cares. And Jesus reminded us not to be anxious about these things. And he directs our attention back to God. That doesn't he care for you? I mean, you doubt that? He that created the heavens and the earth, he that takes care of animals, he that takes care of the birds of the sky that are not worth too much in comparison to us, but God cares about them. He cares about the flowers. He adorns them with such beauty. And you dare to entertain the idea that God doesn't care about you, and so you have to take it in your own hands and put that burden on yourself? Don't you remember? I created the heavens and the earth. I gave it to you freely to enjoy. I didn't charge you anything. I didn't condition that on something. I gave you all of that. No, we're to trust God. That's what the Sabbath does. It takes away that anxiety that we might have in the coming week and the things that we have to do and the challenges that we face and the shortages that we might have. God cares for us, and this whole creation is testimony of that. And he provided for you. And he provided for me. So remember the Sabbath. It'll help you. It'll strengthen you. It'll bring joy and confidence into your life. No, the Sabbath is not to be disregarded. Furthermore, it's a very important command because along with it, as we read from Jeremiah, God puts a very high premium on the Sabbath for us because it's us forgetting him. It's us not being grateful to him for what he's done. And we're thinking, ho-hum, but I still have to do it myself. No, God will do it for you. And that's why in Jeremiah it says, you're not to carry a burden on the Sabbath into Jerusalem. It doesn't mean that you don't have to carry a weight that like somehow, like the Pharisees said, that's work. No, he means the work that we do. Carrying a load is tantamount to working as you would in the week. Trying to earn a living, trying to sell things and buy things. That's what he means. And he says you're not to carry something into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. If you obey my command, then I will make good what my creation testifies to, that I care for you, I love you, I provide for you as I have done. And I do every day. And so if you do that, if you honor me, then princes are going to come from Jerusalem and they're going to ride in victoriously. And people are going to be blessed, and they're going to come and sacrifice, bring their sacrifices to God. Everything is going to be peace and tranquility because my blessings are going to shower down upon you. But if you don't, if you disregard that, and you try and secure your own well-being by working as hard as you can, 7 days a week so you can get ahead. If that happens, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and that fire shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. So if you ever entertain the thought that the Sabbath command is not that important? It doesn't really affect us much if we keep it or we don't keep the Sabbath. Then let these words, coming from the very mouth of God, challenge us. I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. To say that it's not going to go well for you is an understatement. And what God is saying, if you depart from me, if you chart your own path, if you take things into your own hands and say, God, I can handle it, I can do it myself, I'm successful, I got all these skills, and so I can do it myself, then it isn't going to go too well, is it? It didn't go too well for not only Jerusalem, but for all Israel. When they departed from God, when they charted their own path, they tried to secure their own future and strength, it went dismally for them. They ended up being slaves in Egypt and in many other countries. Because why? Because they took things into their own hands. They forgot about their almighty God. And of course, he is gracious, so when they repented, he would go and rescue them, as he did from Egypt, brought them out with a mighty hand. It wasn't their swords, it wasn't their fighting, it wasn't their armies that brought them out. He brought them out with a mighty hand. Now, command is a very important command. And it's a wonderful command because we have it in Genesis. It comes again in Exodus, and it's tied, if you read Deuteronomy, it's also attached to the fact that, hey, you were slaves in Egypt. You didn't get any rest. They wouldn't let you rest. They drove you and made you work on the Sabbath day. And when Moses wanted Pharaoh to let them go, it was for this purpose, so that they could go for a three-day journey. One to travel, one to worship God, and one to come back. And he wouldn't have any of it. He wouldn't allow it to happen. And so God is communicating to them the irony of the fact that now he delivered them from such bondage, now they can rest, and lo and behold, they want to act like they're in Egypt. Work 7 days a week. No rest. No worshiping of God. No acknowledging him as their Lord and Savior, the one that provides for them, but simply taking things into their own hands. And so he says, look, when you rest from your labors, then let your servants rest. Because you know what it's like not to be allowed to rest on the Sabbath day. And so if you make your servants do it, by saying, well, I won't work, I'll just make my servants work. And he said, no. Be an example to them. Let them rest. Let them reflect upon all that God has provided for them. And of course, with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Sabbath comes into its full fulfillment. Now, it's not only bondage, earthly bondage, that they were into Egypt. Now it's associated with the deliverance that Christ has provided for us as he's rescued us from the devil and from death itself by granting us eternal life through the forgiveness of our sins by his death on the cross. And so where is the focus in terms of the Sabbath? It's to see it change from the seventh day to the first day of the week, when the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave. There's a fulfillment of all the messages that God was sending in terms of the Sabbath. I have provided this creation for you, but I've provided much more. I provided salvation. I provided rest for your souls for eternity. And I've given you victory over death. If you're in bondage to Pharaoh, you're certainly in bondage to the devil, and he takes this to death itself. But I have delivered you from that. And so when we start the week and we remember all of these things, then what confidence we have to go into the week. God has rescued me from the bondage of the devil. He set me free. He's brought peace between God and myself by forgiving all of my sins, by the shedding of his blood. Now I'm a child of God. Now he takes care of me. He watches over every aspect of my life. That's why we're not to worry. That's why we're not to be anxious. Doesn't mean that we don't work. I mean, the Bible is very clear about that. Because we have a commandment in terms of the Sabbath, but we also have a commandment about work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So that we can rest in God. So that we can rejoice in the fact that both physically and spiritually, God has provided for all that we need. And that sets us up for the week. We go in with confidence, we go in with strength, we go in with joy, we go in with hearts that are full of gratitude for what God has done for us. And we can focus our minds on what God wants us to do, not to build palaces, not to get ahead, not to make a name for ourselves, but to be faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ and remind the world that God created this world for them and he's given it to them as a gift. And furthermore, that God has taken care of their needs, not only physically, but spiritually, by providing salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they're to believe in him, rest in him. Not work continuously trying to find some way in which they can satisfy their minds that when death comes, everything is going to be all right. And they never can. They never can. Because there is only one way that we can have rest, and that is to know the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ that he brought for us. But not only is it a command, I trust that is seen and received, but the other thing I want to talk about is the fact that it's reasonable. It's not a burden. God is not weighing us down, saying, look, I did this for you, so you have to do this and this and this and this and this, somehow taking advantage of us. What God calls us to do is reasonable. He didn't say, 5 days you should work and 2 days you have to rest from your labors, or three. I mean, imagine somebody giving you the whole world. And you're saying, wait, you want me to rest? That's way too hard. I got so much to do. I can't rest a day. I mean, he gave you everything. He's given you 7 wonderful days to enjoy his creation, to taste of everything that he's provided for you in such over-the-top way, right, in terms of the creation. And the things that we enjoy, we're never satisfied. I mean, we could go around this world and enjoy the creation for years and years on end. I mean, that's how wonderful it is, how beautiful it is. And that's just one planet. One planet. So God has given us all of that. And he says, but one day in 7, I want you to rest. Not work. He's not saying, I want you to come and work for me on the 7th day and I'm going to put you to work and you're going to be so tired after that. But remember everything I've given you, so you owe that to me. No, no. It's a day of rest for you. Man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, says the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we look at the Sabbath as a burden upon us, then we've understood it all wrong. That's not the way that it was meant to be given and to be experienced. No, God has given it to you as a blessing. That's why the scriptures call us to view the Sabbath with a delight, not with a burden, not that it's miserable, not that I can't do what I really want to do because you told me I have to rest on the Sabbath day. No, it is absolutely reasonable. God has given you more than you can ever estimate. He did not spare his only begotten Son. That was his work. Not asked for by you, certainly not deserved by you, but he gave you all of that. And he's asking for our well-being, that we rest from our labors and that we focus on him, to receive from him words of comfort, words of strength, and even more then in the light of salvation. I mean, as I said, it's the first day of the week now, which marks the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which marks our justification. That's the way the scriptures speak about it. And he was raised for our justification. That's what put the exclamation mark behind the work of salvation, that Christ was resurrected from the grave. In other words, his sacrifice was complete and it was accepted by God. Because why would God raise an impostor from the grave? Absolutely no reason. And so when he was raised from the dead, everything that he said and did was certified. And along with that, our forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that we're the children of God, we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that is cemented with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every Sunday, we are to think about that. Every Sunday, God wants us to stop the busyness of life and just think about that. This is what I've done for you. How can that be burdensome? How can that be an imposition in terms of our life? That it's not that important, that we don't really need to think about that? Of course we do. It's an anchor for the soul. We have enough issues and struggles in life that get us down, and the devil that comes after us, that we need to be reminded of that. We need to take that to heart. We need to return thanks to God for what he's done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that unreasonable for God to ask us to do that? To ask us to reflect upon what Christ did to bring us to be at peace with God? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, it's a delight. It should be a delight for us to reflect on those wonderful truths that the Sabbath represents for us and brings to our mind and heart. And finally, it is upbuilding. Not only is it reasonable, it is upbuilding. As I said, it reminds us of our complete dependence on God. It keeps us from falling into that terrible sin of independentism, where we think we can exist apart from God, that we don't need him. We can take everything that he's given. Yes, he's given us our life. But now I can handle it myself. Now I should be able to go about my life. But you know how that works from the Old Testament in the book of Judges. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. But the trouble was, it wasn't right at all. It wasn't right at all. It was rebellion. And it got them into deep trouble. No, we are dependent upon God. That's what our catechism begins with. I'm not my own. I belong body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. I can't lay claim to anything in this life. Because everything has come to me from God. My own existence, my life has come from God. How important it is for us to be reminded of that. And what comfort that brings. If I'm dependent upon Him, if He's created me, and I'm dependent upon Him, especially when I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm reconciled to God, now He's my Father in heaven. He cares for me. He's always watching over me. You think it doesn't make any difference if you go into the week and you're busy doing this and you're busy doing that? It doesn't make any difference to know that you're a child of God Himself? That doesn't bring any comfort, any strength into your life? Surely that's false. Surely it makes all the difference in the world when we go out into this world and we know that we're the children of God and that He loves us and He cares for us and He's provided everything that we need for life and godliness. Now that gives us strength. That gives us confidence to go into this world and to serve Him and to honor Him. No, we're not to worry about these things, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Your Father knows that you need these things. And He provides them for us. Just as He does in the rest of the creation. In terms of the animals, He takes care of them. Are you not worth much more to Him than the birds of the air? The flowers of the field? Of course you are. He did not spare His only begotten Son for you. How much more does He have to do to show how much He cares for us? And therefore, knowing that we are in His hands gives us that calmness of soul to serve Him. Even in very difficult days, we know that we are in His hands. And it also leads us to gratitude. I mean, when we go into another week, knowing all of these things, I mean, does it not motivate you to live for Him? To communicate truth about our Savior and our God to the world in which we live that really don't care about Him and deny that He even exists and try to chart their own path? And they will have the same thing that Jeremiah speaks about. It's never going to be successful. Whatever they're trying to establish for themselves, it's never going to work. It's going to fail for sure. Well, out of the gratitude that we have for all that God has given to us and provided for us, then surely we want to set them an example. God cares for you. He created you. He gave you this creation. Why are you trying to take things into your own hands? Trust in Him. Because without Him, you have no hope in this world. However hard you try. No, trust in Him. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. His yoke that is easy and light, as opposed to the loads that we carry when we take things into our own hands. No, for Christians, it's a life of gratitude because we begin the week knowing the great debt that we owe to God. Not that He's asking for it back. Not that He's demanding that we work it off. No, He's absolutely not. But we're just overwhelmed by what He has done for us and our own unworthiness. And so the way that we respond to that is not to say, God, no, that's not right. You make us pay a little bit at a time. And even though we're never going to pay it off, but let us do that. No, absolutely not. No, we are set free to show our gratitude to Him in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we speak about Him, the way that we trust Him. The way that we, along with the creation, minister to those people in this world, pointing them to God, their Creator and their Savior. And of course, the Sabbath reminds us to worship God. Why did Moses want the Egyptians to let them go? I mean, if it was only about rest, right? Not having to wake up early and go to work and getting tired out and stuff like that. If it was only about rest, they would not have had to travel 3 days. They would not have had to leave with their children in order to travel, to be away from the Egyptians, and then to do what? Worship God. That was what they were going to do on the Sabbath. That's why it was the custom of Jesus to go into the synagogues, worship places. And so it's not just a matter of not doing work. It means to worship God, to thank Him, to glorify Him, acknowledge Him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings of our lives. People of God, this world that God has created and given to us, from this earth, there should rise to heaven the praises of God every Sabbath, because He's given so much to us. And not only for this life, but for eternity. No, we will worship Him forever in heaven. And of course, that is spoken about as our Sabbath rest. That's what it is. When we go to heaven, it will be like an eternal Sabbath. We need to enjoy it now, so that when we get to heaven, it will not be something we say, oh no, all the time a Sabbath. Because we never learned how to delight in the Sabbath and to delight in our God and His work. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for all that You have done for us. And when we sit and just listen and read Your word, then we are amazed at Your grace towards us and Your care and attention toward us, because we live in a world where people don't care about other people, even families. But You care for us, and all that You have done for us is just overwhelming for us. And our Father in heaven, we are thankful that we have the opportunity on this day to return thanks and to worship You and adore You and be a witness to the world around us that there is a Creator and He is to be worshipped and honored. And our Father in heaven, we thank You for the peace that You have brought into our life. That the world struggles with life and the meaning of life, but You have brought rest to our souls. And whatever stage of life we're at, we all have the same solid foundation and hope that we will be with You for eternity. And Father in heaven, we pray that we might learn to enjoy the foretaste of that as we rest from our labors and we enter Your house. Our Father, bless us in this week, and may all of our lives be a testimony of our gratitude towards You for all that You've done. Hear our prayers and bless us as we go forth, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnal number 159.